அநாஶ்ரிதக் கர்ம ஃபலம் காரியம் கர்ம கரோதி யஹ சசந்யாசீ ச யோகீ ச ந நிரக்னிர் ந சாக்ரியஹ யம் சந்நியாசமிதி ப்ராஹுஹ யோகம் தம் வித்தி பாண்டவ நஹ்ய சந்நியஸ்த சங்கல்பஹ யோகீ பவதி கஷ்சன ஆரு ருக்ஷோர் முனேர் யோகம் கர்ம காரணமுச்யதே யோகாரூடஸ்ய தஸ்யைவ சமஹ காரணமுச்யதே யதா ஹினேந்த்ரியார்த்தேஷு ந கர்மஸ்வனு சஜ்ஜதே சர்வ சங்கல்ப சந்நியாசி யோகாரூடஸ்ததோச்யதே உத்தரேதாத்மனாத்மானம் நாத்மானமவசாதயேத் ஆத்மைவ ஹ்யாத்மனோ பந்துஹு ஆத்மைவரி புராத்மனஹ பந்துராத்மாத்மனஸ்தஸ்ய ஏனாத்மைவாத்மனாஜிதஹ அநாத்மனஸ்து சத்ருத்வே வர்த்தேதாத்மைவ சத்ருவத். The sixth verse which you are supposed to do today. What was, even though this is a chapter on meditation, contemplation, Bhagavan begins with a glorification of Karma Yoga. And he said, without becoming independent of results of actions for happiness and security, when a person performs actions alone, he is a sannyasi. So simply physically giving up activities does not make a person sannyasi or even a karma yogi. Suppose even if somebody performs actions, merely performing actions does not make a person karma yogi. Please be careful. Merely performing actions does not make a person karma yogi. Physically giving up activities does not make a person sannyasi. Then what makes a person sannyasi? What makes a person karma yogi? It is the detachment to the fruits of actions makes the person karma yogi sannyasi. Detachment means what? Detachment means not being dependent on fruits for happiness and security is detachment. And that is possible only when a person knows that his life itself is lived ultimately for discovering happiness, and happiness is only one's own swarupam, which has to be discovered. It is not available in karma phalam. Only if we know results of actions cannot give happiness. At the same time, non-performance of actions will not give one happiness also. Therefore, without being dependent on fruits of actions for happiness, when a person performs action for the sake of doing one's duties, then that detachment makes a person karma yogi or a sannyasi. That's how he started his glory in the very beginning. Then we saw the last fifth verse, at the way I stopped last class. Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanamavasadayet. Actually, uddharet, uddharanam means uplifting. Uddharati uplifts. Uddharet, may one uplift. May one uplift oneself means may one protect oneself. May one protect oneself means may one take care of one's emotional maturity. I told you already, if you eat 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, how many ever times a day possible, your physical growth is taken care of by nature. Our efforts are not required for physical growth. Only thing we need to do is push the food into your mouth all the time. Physical growth is taken care of by nature. We do not give any instructions to our cells and cell division for the growth. Whereas emotional maturity needs initiative on the part of an individual. That making an initiative for one's own emotional maturity, one's emotional growth is said to be here, protecting oneself, taking care of oneself, in fact, uplifting oneself. Why? Because unless and until one takes care of one's emotional maturity, there's no way of becoming absolutely mature, which is the absolute protection and which is possible only in jnana. Ultimately, the what is that? The highest achievement, the highest accomplishment a human mind can have is discovering truth of its own self. What is this mind? Where does this mind exist? Where does this mind really blossom from? Where does it resolve? What is this mind? You know, what is this mind? Where pain is, pressure is, jealousy is, hatred is, anger is, anxiety is. What is this mind? Understanding what the mind is, understanding the truth of the mind is actually understanding the truth of one's own self. Understanding the truth of mind, understanding the truth of an individual, understanding the truth of every being, understanding the truth of one's own self, understanding the truth of the whole, understanding the truth of Bhagavan. Okay, imagine discovery of the truth of the mind. What is that which lends existence to the mind? Where does this mind exist? Where do the thoughts rise from? Where do the thoughts exist and resolve? Therefore, and discovering the truth of its own self. Mind is always extroverted. Mind can go through the sense organs in the form of thoughts and go anywhere, pervade any object, perceive any object, discover any object. Mind can collect abundance of information of external world. Mind is blessed with that capacity. You know, mind is uniquely blessed with the capacity. Therefore, mind can know. And how much can the mind know? Even the mind is capable of knowing, discovering, penetrating, really understanding. But mind has limitation also. Because when the paratha gets over, mind has to quit the body and leave this physical body. Then it has to wait for another body to assume for it to be able to function again. So mind has limitation, and the same the mind has the capacity to understand things. So here, but such a mind which is capable of knowing everything else, the search on the part of the mind, mind cannot stand ignorance. There's a problem of the mind. Mind always, the more the knowledge takes place, the more the mind wants to know. Always you will never be satisfied. The dissatisfaction for knowledge, dissatisfaction in terms of knowledge will always be there. The more you know, the more you want to know. The more you know, the more you want to know. Not only for desire for other pleasures and objects here, even for knowledge, the mind cannot stand ignorance. Which means the more and more and more the mind wants to know, the search on the part of the mind will never come to an end. And the Shastra says, when will the search on the part of the mind will come to an end? Only when the mind discovers its own truth. Its own truth, okay? Which means like wave discovering the water as it's being its truth, mind discovering its own truth is the only way. Therefore it is said, mind has to discover. Only then mind can rest. Only then satisfaction is possible. Until then, it's continuously it will be there, it will be surviving also. And if the mind has to discover its own truth, then mind has to rest and relax. Mind has to resolve for good, and for which the mind has to become relatively prepared. And for that preparedness, adequate subtleness, adequate intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, all those things have to be there for which there must be initiative on the part of an individual in terms of living a life of dharma. That's why karma yoga is important. That is only way one can protect oneself. The protection is said to be upliftment. Uplifting oneself means protecting oneself from sinking into this ocean of samsara. Or uddhared atmanatmanam, may one uplift oneself. Na atmanam avasadayet, may one not degrade oneself. How? Atmaiva atmanaha bandhu. If any, who is a bandhu? Who is a ripuhu? Bandhu is a friend, relative, and ripuhu is an enemy. I tell you, the whole world, we think people, enemies are outside, friends are outside. Shastram says, the enemy is not outside, friend is not outside. In fact, it's all how in how you perceive the world. Okay? How you, your friendship, the world is your, world can be your friend if you correct friend, if you have right perception of the world. The world will become your enemy if your perception of the world is wrong. The world, poor world, is neither your friend nor an enemy. World is not a source of happiness. World is not responsible for unhappiness also. Therefore, the world is neither your friend nor an enemy. Naiva bandhu na ripuhu. But who is the bandhu? Who is the ripuhu? Your own mind. If there is no right perception in your mind, then definitely your own mind becomes your enemy. If you don't know how to take care of your, if the mind is immature, your mind will be your enemy. The mind is mature, your mind will be your friend. If you, the maturity is there, right perception of the world is there, you can enjoy the friendship of the whole world. The right perception is not there, whole world will be your enemy also. Therefore, atmanaha bandhu atmaiva means you become your own enemy. One's own self becomes enemy, one's own self becomes one's own friend. But so it depends upon how you maintain. Therefore, if you take care of protection of your mental well-being, mental health, emotional maturity, then your mind will be your friend. You will be your own friend. If you do not take care of your mind, then you will be your own enemy. Which means that for which Shastram prescribed karma yoga lifestyle and prayerfulness, worshipfulness, commitment to dharma, having, discovering Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, living the life alone is in fact only way of protecting oneself, uplifting oneself. We have seen this much last class. We are going to move on to the next verse, sixth verse of sixth chapter.
Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitah.
I'll repeat each sentence twice.
Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitah. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajitah. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat.
So here, same idea what has been said above is little elaborated in this following verse. Bandhu atma, atmanaha. Atma bandhu atmanaha tasya. For that person, or one's own self becomes a friend. Atmanaha bandhu atma bhavati. Atmanaha bandhu atma bhavati. A friend of one's own self becomes one's own self. Tasya, for him. For whom he is given. See, one's own self becomes a friend of one's own self. ஆத்மனஹ பந்துஹ ஆத்மா ஏவ பவதி. பந்துஹ ஆத்மா ஆத்மனஹ மீன்ஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் பிகம்ஸ் அ ஃப்ரெண்ட் ஆஃப் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் ஃபார் அ பர்சன். ஏன ஆத்மா ஆத்மா ஏவ ஆத்மனா ஜிதஹ. ஏன ஆத்மா ஆத்மனா ஏவ ஜிதஹ. ஆத்மைவ ஆத்மனா ஜிதஹ. For the one by whom one's own self has been conquered. In the sentence is in passive voice. So this one's own self becomes a friend of one's own self for the person by whom one's own self has been conquered. What is the meaning? A self conqueror becomes a friend of one's own self. The person who, so yena atma eva atmana jitaha, by one's own self has been conquered by one's own self. What is conquering one's own self? Having mastery over one's own mind, one's ways of thinking, having the discipline of shamaha is having mastery over one's own mind, which is self-mastery, which is conquering one's own self. Anathmanastu shatrutve varteta atmeva shatruvatu. Anathmanastu. Anathmana means the one for whom atma, the one by whom one's own self has not been conquered and he become a slave of one's own self, such a person is said to be anatma. The person who is slave of one's own self, one's own mind, and for him shatrutve, like an enemy, varteta atmaiva shatruvatu, one's own self becomes an enemy. If you conquer yourself, then you are your friend. If you do not conquer yourself, you are slave of yourself, means you are your enemy. What does it mean? How can you become your own enemy? You means here your own mind. So conquering one's own mind is having mastery over one's own mind. Being a conqueror of one's own mind is in fact being having, then mind becomes one's own friend. If you do not conquer your mind, you are enslaved of your mind, then mind becomes your enemy. If you want to have your mind, you want the mind to be a friend, and better conquer your mind. If otherwise, mind will enslave you. Or as enslaved by mind, as a slave of your mind, mind will be your enemy also. Same idea, what has been said before is repeated here. So how can you conquer your mind? See, Shastram says, only in jnanam one can have absolute mastery over one's mind. Because mind will be, when all the desires, all the emotions are resolved for good, because of the correction of error in the perception of the self, in the wake of knowledge, when mind will resolve for good. You cannot keep the mind forever. If jnanam takes place, the knowledge of your own truth is understood, mind will resolve for good. Shastram says, the secret, how long can mind survive? Of course, when the paralabdha gets exhausted, physical body falls apart. And the mind has to quit the body and leave another body. So whenever paralabdha gets exhausted, and mind leaves the physical body, and body becomes dead, becomes lifeless, it is thrown away, disintegrated. When the mind just departed, mind does not die. Mind cannot be killed, cremated, or buried. Mind survives death. That is why we do Shraddha Karma for ancestors, Pitru Karma. Why Amavasya Tarpanam, everything we do, we have lot of, you know, Pitru Karmas, ancestors. Every Amavasya Pitru Tarpanam must be done. We have ancestral worship because the soul survives. What is the soul here? Atma is not the soul. Okay. The soul is subtle body, especially the mind. When the mind leaves, body becomes dead. And what determines the departure of mind from the body? It is Paradha Karma. When the Paradha Karma phalam ends, mind leaves the physical body, body becomes dead. What does mind do then? Mind will be in sleep for some time. When the next set of Paradha is ready, in keeping with the Paradha, mind again will assume another body and be in other mother's womb. Again, it will be born. Assuming a body, it will express itself. Mind cannot be functional without a physical body. Mind needs a boga sadhanam, boga sadhanani, boga ayatanam. No, the body, mind is complex. The body is needed for the sukshma to enter. When the Paradha is ready, body will again express itself through that physical body. Because now mind is imperceptible, mind cannot be contacted without the physical body. It expresses itself only in other body when the new Paradha comes. So mind continues to exist. Mind will never die, cannot be killed at all. That is why great strength for all our kings in India. I told you many times before also. The kings were committed to dharma. They were never scared of death. Oh, this body goes. We assume another body will come back again. You know, that is a story we had. Even the king Pururavas was fighting for a long time. Alexander came to India and he was fighting for a long time. And even though he had very small army, usually Alexander was going everywhere. He was defeating kings very quickly, soon. And he was winning everywhere. He conquered other plans. Comes back soon. When he came to India, he had to fight for very long with this Pururavas, and the war was going on for very long. Then Alexander wanted to know what happened. What is the secret? Why these soldiers of Pururavas are fighting for a long time? What is the secret? And he sent one messenger to find out from the other side of Pururavas' army people. And the person went, and he saw one puny little swami, one sannyasi was sitting in a corner. And then he came back and told this Alexander, there's one puny swami in saffron robe sitting there, and he is teaching something, and these people, all the soldiers are very full of enthusiasm, energetic, and they are all fighting. Whereas Alexander's soldiers are fighting because they're scared of Alexander. If they don't fight, he will kill him. So they were killing not out of patriotism, not out of anything. They were just fighting for the sake of Alexander. Whereas the Pururavas soldiers were fighting with the dedication and enthusiasm and with the attitude of sacrifice. And Alexander found out. He went to the other side and he saw this sadhu and asked him, oh, you are sitting here. What are you doing? And he didn't understand the secret. The sadhu was teaching them what is the nature of the self, what happens to the soul, etc. Therefore, they know physical body will get disintegrated. Some one day or the other, body will fall apart. Body has limitation. Nobody can kill the sukshma. Mind cannot be destroyed at all. Not, of course, Atma is absolutely eternal. Atma cannot be killed at all, which is the truth of an individual, truth of I. But what about the mind? Mind also cannot be killed. This is a secret. This they know how sukshma is also indestructible, not only the atma. And sukshma can be resolved only in jnanam. Mind can be resolved, cannot be destroyed. So this was taught by the sadhu. So they're all fighting happy, knowing this fact. Because the spiritual strength they had. And Alexander went, he could understand. He said, oh sadhu, come to my side. I can give you whatever you want. I can make you anything you want. Come to my side. Don't stay this side. And Hadu laughed at him. Come on, I'm meditating now. You're standing high, now hiding the sunlight. Sun rays of sun are falling upon me. Please move away. I want to meditate. And Alexander got angry. wherever he goes, people get up and receive him with the great respect. And his sadhu was not bothered to get up also. And not that he even Alexander went to him, approached him directly. He was not respecting him, not, he didn't say anything. Alexander got wild. You know what he'll do if you don't come with me? He lifted his knife. And Purva was this king, this sadhu said, sadhu laughed at him. You want to kill me? Come on, kill me. You can never kill me. You cannot kill me. You cannot kill me. You cannot kill. You cannot kill me. Okay, you and I are one. We cannot be killed. You cannot kill. Nor can I be killed. You can only cut my hands. Your knife can cut my hands. Your knife can cut my throat. Your knife can remove my body. But you cannot kill me, he said. And then, so your hands, with your hands, you can hold your knife. Your knife can kill my, cut my body into pieces, but you cannot kill me. This, Alexander was very sharp. This woke him up. I don't know what happened. What happened, we do not know. He fell flat in front of the sadhu, namaskaram, and came back. His own story is there. I don't know if it's true or not. It's a nice story anyway. This is a fact. Then what they say, the even leave alone Atma. Atma is absolutely eternal, indestructible. Even the mind cannot be destroyed. But mind, unless and until mind is resolved, mind will continue to assume a new body again and again and again, finding different mother's wombs. That is how mind can be. What say do we have over our own minds? Nothing can be done. If the mind has to be resolved for good, it has to be freed from the bondage of birth, like cycle of births and deaths, bondage of karma. The only way is mind can be resolved. For the mind to be resolved, only way is mind, there's a discovery of the truth of the mind. Actually, just as the truth of the wave is water, similarly, the truth of the mind, what is the truth of the mind? Where does the mind exist? No, where does it rise from? Where do the thoughts rise from? Where does it resolve? That understanding has to happen. That is how only in discovering its own truth, mind gets resolved. When mind is resolved, as long as the parabdha is there, mind can be there. When parabdha gets over, the mind leaves, mind will not come back again. That is how mind stops. So mind can be resolved, it cannot be destroyed. But the mind has to be resolved, knowledge of the truth of the mind is the only way. But the knowledge has to happen, mind has to be, that is what conquering, absolute, the mind, that's called absolute victory over mind. Mind is resolved means mind is conquered absolutely. But until jnanam, your mind has to be, one has to have mastery over the mind, for which the only way is living a life of karma yoga. Being conscious of what our actions are, being conscious of our duties, and doing our duties consciously, thoughtfully, in conformity with dharma, and also worshipfully, prayerfully. And that is how we can manage our ragadveshas. Because neutralizing the ragadveshas, our anger, emotions is the most difficult thing. Otherwise, every individual is so beautiful. You know that? I have seen, there's no human being who's really bad or wrong. Every individual has lots of good things about them. Everybody naturally, there's a lot of good things about every individual. The problem is the management of our emotions, the ragadveshas, anger, fear, etc. And you cannot undo them. You cannot destroy them. You can only resolve them. Only in jnanam it is possible. But until then, you have to manage. Shastram says managing emotions, managing one's mind managing one's desires, raga dveshas, is actually very important thing. That is how you can have mastery over mind. Relative mastery over mind is being able to manage one's emotions, for which one has to live a life of karma yoga with a commitment to the universal values and being conscious of being worshipful and prayerful, seeking Bhagavan's grace desperately for the strength to be able to live a life of dharma. See, our prayer, in our culture, prayer is always for something what we desperately need. When we understand our helplessness, we seek Bhagavan's grace. I want to live a life of dharma. Definitely I don't want to go against dharma. But the situations where I'm cornered not to be able to follow dharma always. I am cornered. What can I do? I need the strength. I need the clarity for which we need Bhagavan's grace. That is when I feel helpless that I'm not able to follow dharma in spite of knowing the value of dharma. That is when we seek Bhagavan's grace. That is why prayer, when repeatedly I remind myself, I should not go against dharma. I should not go against dharma. I should not go against dharma. This is auto-suggestion, which is actually seeking Bhagavan's grace. Hey, Bhagavan, please bless me with the strength to live a life of dharma. That's why that prayerfully, worshipfully, seeking Bhagavan's grace abundantly, desperately for being able to live a life of dharma, living, performing all one's duties in dharma, that is what is karma yoga. And their attitude is also different. Because the whole life is lived, everything is done, not for just living, not for enjoyment of pleasures alone, but enjoyment, pleasures are enjoyed, artha is pursued ultimately for preparing one's mind for jnanam, which is the only way of having absolute mastery over the mind, conquer the mind. There's no way of conquering the mind. The person who has conquered the mind is the conqueror of one's own self, is said to be the conqueror of the whole world. Conquering one's own mind means what? Even having mastery over one's desires. The one who has conquered the desires is said to be the conqueror of the world. There's one Subhashitam very beautifully, it is said that Subhashitam also. Therefore, if you take care of that, then your own mind becomes your friend. Having your mind, being able to be conqueror of your mind is actually being your own friend. And being enslaved by your mind is what? Being enemy to yourself. That's what is said here. There's a very kindergarten lesson. Subhashitam one is there. Ashayaha ye dasaha. Sanskrit students can learn this. Ashayaha ye dasaha. Rhyming. Te dasa sarvalokasya. Ye ashayaha dasaha. Those who are enslaved by desires. Slaves of desires. Te dasaha sarvalokasya. They are slaves, the servants of the whole world. So being a slave of a desire means what? Having desires is not being a slave of a desire. Having likes and dislikes is not being a slave of a desire. It is, you must have desires. Having desires is very natural, but making efforts to fulfill that, being impelled by the desires, compelled by the desires, when you thoughtlessly, when you go against dharma, you will abuse your will. You do not make use of the knowledge of right and wrong. Not making use of the knowledge of right and wrong, what Bhagavan has given you. In spite of knowing what is right and wrong, ignoring your knowledge of right and wrong, abusing your willpower, going against dharma to fulfill your desire, that is when you are a slave of your desire. Having a desire is not a slave, not being a slave of a desire. Desires are very natural. You must have desires. But to fulfill that desire, compelled by my desire, I blinded by my desire, when I go against the dharma, that is when I am a slave of desire. If using my willpower, using my knowledge of right and wrong, if I can say no to wrong action, even if my desire compels me, if I can say no to wrong action, if I do right action, that's why I always say, my actions are not dictated by my likes and dislikes, my own personal whims and fancies, but by governed by knowledge of right and wrong, I use my will. To have a strong will, we have to pray to Bhagavan to bless us with a strong will, not to go against dharma, not to do the wrong action, to do the right action. That is how we can have mastery over our mind. We can be conqueror of our mind. So being a conqueror of one's own desire means not going against dharma to fulfill the desire. Then if you are a conqueror of your desire, you are a conqueror of the whole world. Ashayaha ye dasaha te dasaha sarvalokasya. Sarvalokasya dasaha. Asha yesham dasi. Asha yesham dasi. Tesham dasayate lokaha. No, the desire is a slave for whom? Tesham dasayate lokaha. The whole world becomes slave of such people. Which means, just to highlight the importance of not to go against dharma for the sake of fulfilling desire. So having a desire itself is not a problem. You cannot give up or undo desires. You can have the desires, but when the question of fulfilling your desire comes, your urges come, see that the actions you do are not against dharma. No, then you must say no, but be able to say no using a strong will, using your knowledge of right and wrong. The karma yogi is the one who makes use of his knowledge of right and wrong and makes the best use of his willpower Bhagavan has blessed him with. He is called yogi. The person who does not use his knowledge of right and wrong, simply he keeps it locked in his buddhi, doesn't make use of it, it gets rusty. No? And such a person is called karmi kripanaha, stingy miser. He doesn't spend his buddhi Bhagavan has given him. Kripanaha means a miser, stingy. Karmi or kripanaha. In Tamil, sariyana karmi, if they say, the fellow who doesn't want to spend a penny, very difficult for him to take money from his pocket and spend. It's very difficult to spend. So he's stingy, he can't spend for anything. There's some people, okay, and we call them stingy people, but not only people who do not spend money or karmis, even the person, Shastram says, the person who does not, not generous enough to spend the knowledge Bhagavan has blessed him with. Knowledge of right and wrong, Bhagavan has already given him. He doesn't use his buddhi. He keeps it safe. He knows right and wrong, doesn't use it. It means he go against dharma. Kripanaha, he is not a karma yogi. If you are kripanaha, you are slave of yourself. You are enemy to yourself. If you are karma yogi, you are master of yourself. And you are conqueror of yourself. Okay. That same verse, what has been said in the 5th verse, is again repeated in the 6th mantra. Bandhu atma atmanaha. Tasya purushasya, for that person, atma eva bandhu atmanaha. Atmanaha bandhu atma. One's own self is a friend for one's own friend. For whom? Yena, by whom? Atma eva atmana jitaha. The one by whom one's own mind has been conquered by oneself. How? By living a life of karma yoga. Anatmanastu shatrutve varteta atmeva shatruvatu. But the person who's enslaved by his mind, desires, mind, and he, for him, his own mind, his own self becomes enemy to himself. Therefore, don't work very hard. Don't think, don't blame the world. There are people outside sitting, enemies and friends. No. Take care of your mind all the time. Protect your mind. Your mental well-being is very, very important. Okay. Why? Not only for living in this world peacefully, even to accomplish the absolute good, moksha, jnanam, to accomplish the absolute. You know, the highest accomplishment of the mind is discovering its own truth. So if you want to make your life absolutely successful and complete and meaningful, you must discover your swarupam, which is the discovery of the truth, discovery of Bhagavan, which is the highest goal of a human life, for a human being. There's no higher goal than that. And everything else we do is to, for us to prepare our mind, our duties with marriage, progeny, for perpetuation of dharma, everything we do just for the sake of not disturbing the universal order, just to live our life in conformity with order, we do everything. Actually, our life is lived for moksha and jnanam. That should not be forgotten. We should not forget our, is not forgetting the goal and the means, the purpose of living this life is called samadhanam, in being focused always. Okay, next sloka.
Jitatmanah prashantasya, jitatmanah prashantasya, paramatma samahitah. Jitatmanah prashantasya, paramatma samahitah. Shitoshna sukha dukkheshu tathamana pamanayoho. Jitatmanah prashantasya, paramatma samahitah. Shitoshna sukha dukkheshu tathamana pamanayoho.
Now, I am not repeating. Okay. See how Bhagavad Gita is repeating the teaching. Paramatma samahitaha. Bhagavan is very close to that person. He will easily have the vision of Bhagavan in terms of truth, in the form of truth. For whom? Prashantasya. Prashantaha means the person who is relatively tranquil minded. See, absolute tranquility, peace is possible only in jnanam. But to attain jnanam, to be able to be contemplative, to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, you must be relatively tranquil. And that tranquility, relative tranquility, relatively you can be peaceful, tranquil, only if you have mastery over your mind relatively. He says, jitatmanaha. Jita atma means, in this word atma does not mean atma, the truth, the consciousness. The word atma in this context means mind. You must be very careful. Some occasions atma means the truth, the self, consciousness, reality. Sometimes the word atma also means mind. In this context, the word atma means mind. What is it? Jita atma. Jita atma. Jitaha atma yena saha jita atma. Jitaha atma yena. The one by whom mind has been conquered. Jitatma. Jitatma means what? It is not the victory, not the mind, not the mind. The person who has mastery over his mind, the person by whom mind has been conquered, the conqueror of one's own mind is said to be jitatma. Jitaha atma yena. ஜிதம் மனஹ ஏன சஹ ஜிதாத்மா ஜித ஆத்மா ஜிதாத்மா. First you get the expressions jitta plus atma, then jitatma. Jitta means conquered. Atma means mind. But here, not the mind or the atma, here. The person by whom mind has been conquered is jitatma. Conqueror of the mind is jitatma. Is it clear? Okay. And for him, jitatmanaha is what? Possessive case, jitatman shabdha, nakarantaha pullingaha, jitatman shabdha, jitatma, jitatmanam, jitatmana, jitatmane, jitatmanaha, jitatmanaha. Shashti vibhakto, yeka vachane, jitatmanaha, iti rupam. Possessive singular. Isn't it singular? Possessive case, jitatmanaha, prashantasya. For the person who has mastery over his mind, thereby who is relatively tranquil. If you have do not have any mastery over your ways of thinking, your desires, your anger, your emotions, then you will always be disturbed, agitated. You cannot be prashantaha. You will be agitated. Therefore, prashantihi, relative tranquility is possible only if you have relative mastery over your mind. So, jitatmanaha, thereby prashantas. The person is jitatma. Therefore he is prashantaha. He is tranquil minded. Such a person paramatma samahitaha. Bhagavan is very close to him. When he has absolute mastery, absolute peace, Bhagavan is himself. He is not, will be non-separate. In jnanam, he will be non-separate from Bhagavan. He lives a life of dharma, is very close to Bhagavan. Living a life of karma yoga fills one's life with Bhagavan. This person becomes very close to Bhagavan. In jnanam, he becomes one with Bhagavan. Okay? And how? Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkeshu. In all situations, on all pleasant, unpleasant, desirable, undesirable situations, a cold, heat, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, whatever comes in life, in all situations, this person remains the same without elation and dejection, accepting everything as prasada. He does not allow himself to be imbalanced. He remains balanced. He maintains his equanimity in all situations because of his proper attitude of being able to look at everything as prasada, knowing that everything is determined by Bhagavan, the form of order. He doesn't allow himself to be disturbed by external situations. Why? He can look at everything as prasada because he knows everything has a reason. Whatever comes has a reason. Nothing comes without a reason. Everything comes and goes. And everything is determined by Bhagavan, the form of order. Therefore, he can accept everything with the sameness of mind, knowing the nature that it all comes, is going to come and is going to come and go. Therefore, this person is not disturbed by the external situations or whatever comes in life. He maintains his mental equanimity. And not only that, because of his commitment to dharma also, he is not a split personality. There's integration in his thought, word and deed because he doesn't go against dharma. Therefore, he has mastery over his ways of thinking, his mastery over his emotions, all his desires, raga, dveshas and anger. He can manage them. Mastery in sense, he can manage them. How does he manage? His commitment to dharma. Therefore, he is jitatma, and therefore he is tranquil-minded. Otherwise, relatively also you cannot be peaceful unless you commit yourself to live a life of dharma. There's no way off. So, shita, ushna, sukha, dukkhe, tha, mana, apamana, yoho, jitatmanaha, prashantasya, paramatma, samahitaha. mean this person is prepared for Bhagavan's darshanam. Okay.
Jnana vijnana triptatma. Jnana vijnana triptatma.
You must be wondering, it is Jnana Yoga. Bhagavan is not talking anything about Jnanam. Why is repeatedly talking about this Karma Yoga? You know, in fact, Dhyanam is not simply sitting, closing your eyes. Having Bhagavan in your mind always is Dhyanam. How can you have Bhagavan always in your mind? In every action you do, you are remember thoughtful of Bhagavan, conscious of Bhagavan. Whatever I am doing ultimately for preparing my mind for discovering Bhagavan. Means every action you do, Bhagavan is remembered that you are doing it because ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. The action is offered to Bhagavan. Because Ishwara Arpana Buddhya, every action you are doing. So Bhagavan is not forgotten. And your commitment to live a life of Dharma, because we are conscious of Bhagavan, is name of values and you follow values. So Bhagavan is remembered. Because you don't want to disturb Bhagavan, name of order. Then whatever comes in life, is you look at it as prasada. When can a karma yogi forget Bhagavan? Being conscious of Bhagavan in doing actions, in receiving results, always on his Bhagavan means, we say, Bhagavan is never forgotten. Therefore, living a life of karma yoga itself is living one's life conscious of Bhagavan. That is why, before even going for actual meditation, Bhagavan wants us to prepare the mind for, how can you have meditative disposition of the mind? What is the use of simply trying to sit and closing your eyes when your mind is so restless, agitated and disturbed? Meditation will be meaningful. Now, only when you are relatively peaceful and tranquil, you must be able to focus. Disposition of the mind must be there. Otherwise, it won't be useful. That is why, even before going to the topic of meditation, Bhagavan emphasizes Karma Yoga again. Okay.
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma. Kutastho Vijitendriyah. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma. Kotastho Vijitendriyah. Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. Samaloshtasma Kanchanah. Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. Samaloshtasma Kanchanah. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma. Kotastho Vijitendriyah. Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. Samaloshtasma Kanchanah.
Now, from this verse onward, you know, having discussed so many, 7 verses, Bhagavan glorified Karma Yoga. Now he is talking about a wise person also. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma. Jnanam means the truth here, and Vijnanam means knowledge. Knowledge of the truth is Jnana Vijnanam. Jnanasya Vijnanam, Jnana Vijnanam. So, Tripta Atma, the person who has discovered absolute satisfaction in the wake of knowledge of the truth. Okay, the absolute satisfaction is possible only in the wake of knowledge of the truth. When a person has clear, ascertained knowledge of the self, being Atma, the only truth of everything, then the person has absolute satisfaction. Why? That is when all his problems will be resolved for good. So jnana vijnana tripta atma, jnana vijnanena triptaha atma yasya. The one whose mind has absolute satisfaction because of knowledge of the truth. One small, one compound, you know, is packed with information. Jnanasya vijnanam, jnana vijnanam. Knowledge of the truth is jnana vijnanam. Jnana vijnanena triptaha atma yasya. The one whose mind is absolutely satisfied because of the knowledge of the truth is jnana vijnana triptatma. It means jnani, wise person alone is the person of absolute satisfaction. You see, whether you achieve this and that or not, whatever you achieve, whatever you don't achieve, non-achievement will not make bless a person with satisfaction. Achievements also will not bless a person with satisfaction. What is it which will bless one absolute with satisfaction? It is the jnana vijnanam. It is the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the Atma alone will absolutely bless one with absolute satisfaction. Such a person, kutastaha. Kutastaha means, kutam means anvil. You know, this kutastaha, what happens? When the anvil is used to actually hammer the iron, because there will be some stand like, when people hammer in any iron, the iron will bend, but the kutam will remain always, you know, without shape, without any change. But the piece of iron on top of this anvil, which is really hammered, will undergo change. The anvil will never undergo change. Like that, whatever comes in life, this person, now because of his knowledge of what the self is, he is firm, strong, you know. We call kutastaha. Then vijita indriyaha. Vijitani indriyani yena relative pronoun. Vijitani indriyani yena saha vijitendriyaha. Vijita indriyaha. Jita vijita past passive participles. Jita means what? Won, conquered. Vijita also means conquered, one. Vijitani, plural, one, conquered. Vijita, one. Vijitani, plural. Vijitam, vijite, vijitani. By indriyani, vijitani. The one by whom sense organs have been conquered. In the previous verse, Bhagavan talked about the conquering one's mind. Here he is talking about the conquering one's sense organs. Vijita indriyani, vijitani indriyani yena or yasya saha vijitendriyaha. The one who has mastery over his sense organs, one who has conquered his sense organs. What does it mean? Conquering one's sense organs means what? Having mastery over one's sense organs means what? See, the sense organs are the reporters. Once you wake up from sleep, from morning till until you fall asleep, sense organs will keep on reporting you whatever objects they are coming in contact with. Eyes will tell you, in that shop this is there, in this shop this is there, this on this road is available, this is how that is looking. And the tongue will tell you, this food will be very nice, you know. The tongue will tell you what food will be nice to you. The tongue will keep on reporting you about food. The ear will keep on reporting you about lot of information, what all you want, music or whatever you like. And so every sense organ will be reporting to you constantly about the external or available objects, what you can enjoy. And immediately mind will do, what will the mind do? The disease will come. And then the mind will tell you, okay, do something. When the desire comes, and you will be acting, you will do some action to fulfill your desire. So like that, always we will be, it is very natural for any human being to be involved in activities impelled by desires for which sense organs also contribute. Isn't it? You must know what is available. So perception helps you to know what is available. Then the knowledge comes. Then you want, then desire comes. Then you do action. Then you fulfill your desire. So it is possible for any ignorant person. If a person becomes wise, if a person discovers the truth of the whole as one's own self, after discovering the truth, his perception of the self is different and he discovers happiness, fullness as one's own nature. In discovering happiness, fullness as one's own nature, the person, he revels in the vision of his nature being fullness. And he's a person of fullness, a person of happiness. Where there is a fullness and happiness, there won't be inadequacy. Inadequacy and fullness cannot coexist. In jnanam, when knowledge takes place, there will be fullness. What is fullness? The person understands the fullness being the very nature, happiness being also nature. So naturally he revels in the clear vision of one's own nature, self being fullness. For such a person, inadequacy, because he understands the self being free from all limitations, the fundamental problem being not there, there is no sense of inadequacy centered on I anymore. Therefore, the person is free from the hold of desires. See, desires can rise, desires can trouble, desires can be there only if there is sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, sense of insecurity centered on I is there. The fundamental problem is sorted out, then inadequacy is not there, desires will not run away, desires will not bind you. Okay. And such a person, what happens? Shastram says, he will not be, whatever the sense organs come and report to him, no sense object perceived, experienced can trigger any desire in him. External objects, external things, food or anything heard or anything seen, anything tasted, heard, smelt or taste, anything can trigger a desire in a person. Only the person has sense of inadequacy. The no desire can be triggered. Sense objects, poor sense objects become, no, they cannot trigger any desire in him. Why? Because no desire can be triggered. He's no inadequacy. Because the person is reveling in the vision of fullness. He has clear vision of what is satyam, what is mithya. He has clear vision of the self being the true satyam. Therefore, sense objects become incapable of triggering any desire on the part of a wise person. So the poor sense organs also keep on reporting they are not capable of whatever objects they try to report to him. Sense organs, the mind cannot be shaken or disturbed, or no desire can be triggered. It's called the sense organs being incapable of triggering any desires in the mind of a wise person, then the wise person is said to have absolute mastery over sense organs. A karma yogi has relative mastery. Even though sense organs tell him, see, karma yogi will not go against dharma to fulfill his desire. As a jnani need not do anything, because jnani is already reveling in fullness. So Shastram says, Vijitendriya means the person who has absolute mastery over his sense organs and who is firm, kutastaha, and who is absolutely satisfied because of his knowledge of the truth. And such a person, samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Loshtam ashma kanchanam. For him, stone or gold or metal or anything for him is everything is the same. An ordinary piece of stone or highly valuable gold, there's no difference for him. He sees everything is the same. Why? Gold is more valuable for an ignorant person. Ordinary stone is useless for an ignorant person. As far as jnani is concerned, the stone is not useless for him, or gold is not valuable for him. Why? Because stone cannot remove his unhappiness. Gold cannot add to his happiness. Gold is not a source of happiness for him. Ordinary stone is not a source of the response of unhappiness for him. Whatever he sees outside, no object can be a source of happiness for him. No object outside can cause the unhappiness also for him. External world cannot cause any unhappiness. Is not source of happiness also for him. For him, the self is a source of happiness. Self is of the nature of happiness. A person who is leveling in the vision of fullness, the world is neither a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for unhappiness. For him, everything is the same. Everything is his own manifestation. He looks at the whole world as I am, ahamidam sarvam, I am the whole. Therefore, everything is the self for him. Stone is the self, gold is the self, everything else is the self. Isn't it? To have such a vision is amazing. You must be able to see how everything is mithya. To say that. Therefore, samaloshtashma kanchanaha, such a person alone, yuktaha ityuchyate, he is said to be wise person, saha yogi yuktaha ityuchyate. Samatva samadrishtihi. Because if you're ignorant, anything which can buy you, which serve as a means of, which can help you get more worldly pleasures is more valuable. Which is incapable of getting you worldly pleasures, which is invaluable for you, useless for you. As a jnani who is reveling in fullness, happiness, for him, everything is the same. Nothing is more valuable, nothing is less valuable. Everything is everything, that's all. Because he's not dependent on anything for his happiness, and nor is security, and nor is anything, nothing in the world can cause unhappiness also for him. So, jnana vijnana triptatma kotastho vijitendriyaha yukta ityuchyate yogi samaloshtashma kanchanaha suhrun mitraryudasina madhyastadvesha bandhushu sadhushvapicha papeshu samabuddhir visishyate suhrun mitraryudasina madhyastadvesha bandhushu sadhushvapicha papeshu samabuddhir visishyate. Now, suhrut becomes suhrun. Suhrut, well-wisher. Mitram, friend. Mitra. Ari, enemy. Udasinaha, neither friend nor an enemy. Udasinaha, madhyastaha, mediator. Dveshyaha, person who deserves hatred. Bandhu, who is relative. Sadhu, a person of dharma, who lives a life enjoyed by the shastram. And papaha, the person who incurs sins. So in all of them, One person is the righteous person. Another person is the wrongdoer, wicked person. One is a well-wisher. Another person is a friend. Another person an enemy. Another person a stranger. Madhyastha mediator. Other person is one who deserves hatred. One other person is relative. These are the people around us. In all of them, sama buddhihi visishyate. Is it possible for us to remain the same towards all of them? When the question of doing anything comes, I must be the same towards all of them. Whether a person is friend or enemy, I don't harm. I don't go against dharma. If somebody is friend, I'll do good things. Somebody is enemy, I won't do good things. Somebody is a known person, I'm very welcome. Stranger, I won't think of his well-being. Difficult. So, Suhrut, if you break it, Suhrut, Mitram, Arihi. I'll tell you all these words. Suhrut, well-wisher, Mitram, neuter gender word, friend, Arihi, Isargaha, not Harihi, Arihi, enemy. Udasinaha, who is neither a friend nor a stranger. Madhyastaha, a mediator. Dveshyaha, the person who deserves hatred. Hateable person. Bandhu, relative. Sadhu, a saintly person. Papaha, wicked wrongdoer. Now, sadhushu means plural verb is sadhu. Now you put them all together, compound word, suhrut mitra. Suhrut plus mitra, that it has become what? In, sandhi. Suhrun mitra. Mitra plus ari, mitrari. Ari plus udasina, ariyudasina. See, look at how many sandhis are coming, come across. Suhrut plus mitra, one sandhi. Mitra plus Ari, another sandhi. Ari plus Udasina, another sandhi. Yen sandhi. Madhyastha, Dvesha, Bandhushu. Then no sandhis. Suhrun mitra Udasina, Madhyastha, Dvesha, Bandhushu. Sadhushu, locative plural of Sadhu. Then Papeshu, locative plural of Papaha. Papeshu. Not sincere, sinners. The people, wicked people who are wrongdoers. Harmful people. So saintly people, harmful people. In all of them, with regard to all of them, what excels? Visishyate excels. Samabuddhihi visishyate. Having the same attitude towards all of them, being the same towards all of them is what? Samabuddhihi visishyate excels. Which means, it is very important for us to know. It is very natural for all of us to have a friend, a stranger, enemy, well-wisher, non-well-wisher, a saintly person, wrong person. We can be the same towards all of them. What does it mean? How is it possible for us to be the same towards all of them? If you remember always the facts, we are living these lives ultimately for discovering peace and happiness, which is moksha. And that is possible, Bhagavan Shastram repeatedly hints, only in jnanam that is possible. Whatever you do, standing upside down, whatever you do, freedom is not possible at all by anything else. Only jnanam you need. Therefore, your unhappiness, your sadness, your problems, whatever your mind, the problems you have, it's all problems are with your own mind's problems. You're unhappy, no, the world, nobody's behavior, nobody is in the world, nobody's actions definitely are not at all responsible for your unhappiness. At the same time, nobody is a source of security or happiness also. No objects in the world, people of the world, situations, possessions and positions can really make you happy, nor are they responsible for your unhappiness. It's a fact. And whatever are the external things and people and situations can be instrumental in triggering your own mental conditions, what you have in your own subconscious. External situations can only trigger what you have in your subconscious. The fear comes, anger comes, hatred comes, whatever comes, it's all you have in your subconscious. The external situation becomes instrumental. Friendship, relationship, association, or things we enjoy, everything becomes instrumental to trigger your emotions. Then what happens? When they come, people who are instrumental, situations that are instrumental, are mistaken to be responsible for the suffering you go through. That is when, again, hatred comes, anger comes. It is the error in your perception. You mistake people or situations who are only instrumental in triggering your situations, are mistaken to be responsible for your situation, respond for your mental condition, then again you have more anger and hatred. The more it comes, the more you're agitated, the more you're disturbed, and it gets uncontrollably, gets expressed in your behavior, it causes damage in relationship also. But once you remember the fact, this what, world is not responsible for my unhappiness, world is not a source of happiness also, security also, and what I need is jnanam, and for that, what I need is moksha, jnanam alone I need, for which I must be mentally prepared, for there's no fraction of second Bhagavan of truth is away from you. There's no fraction of second. Bhagavan is always there as your own self. As very you, Bhagavan is there in every mind. No? Kriddeshe Arjuna, Bhagavan says here, always Bhagavan is there in your own mind as your own self. The problem is that truth doesn't become revealed to you because you don't deserve that. You have to become qualified for that. You must be, prepared for that. Therefore, all that you need is mental preparation. And for the preparation, Shastram tells me, this is how I had to live my life. So it doesn't matter, whoever it is, knowingly, consciously, in my action, when whatever I do, this he is my friend, he is my enemy. I should right action towards my friend, I should wrong action towards my friend, enemy. No. Friend or enemy, doesn't matter, even the question of my doing my duties and actions come, my personal likes and dislikes, hatred, I don't allow them to dictate my behavior. I do what is right, whether I like it or not. I do not do what is wrong, whether I like it or not. So when my actions are governed by my knowledge of right and wrong, when my will is used in living a life of dharma, then naturally I'm not harmful to anybody. That's why my commitment to dharma makes me remain the same towards all the people. Knowingly, intentionally, I do not hurt anybody by my thought, word or deed. Doesn't matter he is enemy, whether he is my friend. I don't do anything wrong, go against dharma to harm a person, make a person anything. I just do what is appropriate on my part. What is right, I do. What is wrong, I do not do. Whoever I have to deal with, doesn't matter, friend or enemy. So, it is the commitment to dharma is enough for you to be the same towards all the people. When the question of dealing with friend comes, I do right action. Question of dealing with the enemy comes, I do wrong action. No. That's why I say, you know, friendship also will last forever only if the relationship is based on commitment to dharma. I always tell this in every class, I tell this, any relationship, husband, wife, or children, parents, or any friends, any relationship will last forever if there's a trust. The trust in each other is based on our commitment to dharma. That's how relationship will last. Because other person will not go against dharma. That is the trust. Isn't it? So, what here again it is said here, samabuddhihi visishyate, that excels. How can I be, have samabuddhihi? How can I be the same towards all of them? Being the same means what? Inviting all of them and having lunch together with them? Samabandhi bhojanam? No. In my day-to-day life, when the question of acting actions come, in my mind, I do not harm, think of anything harm, do anything harm to anybody. No, towards enemy or a friend or a well-wisher, whoever it is, I do not do anything. Think also, in my thinking, I do not think anything bad or wrong for others, or even for enemy. Because I understand there's no enemy. Really, once you're given Sariyavadi Shastram, where is the enemy sitting outside? Where is the friend sitting outside? Some Parabdha has brought some people, you know, your life is, everyone's world is nothing but 10 significant people. The whole world is so vast. How many people do we live our lives with? Pujaswam used to say that always. What? 10 significant people in my life. That's all life. Whole world. Isn't it? We are going to whole over the world. They are the people. So, really speaking, finally, being the same towards all of them, means remaining the same towards all of them, is actually by word, thought, word and deed. I do not do anything wrong towards anybody, not intend to do wrong anything anybody. I never compromise with dharma. That is how I can remain the same. Then, I have a class, so I'm going to stop here now. This last verse, now at last Bhagavan has come to meditation topic. He has come to know. Okay. One more verse is there. And 11th verse onward, he's going to talk about, because the meditation needs all this understanding. Only then you can be calm. So I will redo the verses 9 and 10. I'll do again. 10, 9 again I'll do. Then we'll do 10 also. We'll continue next week. Okay. I think 6, 7, 8. Yeah. The 9th verse I do again. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Please check your emails. Ranji has sent an email. Not all of you. I mean Sunday group people. Other boys, check your emails. The email has been sent to all of you. I think we'll catch up next week. Oh, Anu baby. Oh, Anu is there. So, okay, we'll all meet in 10 minutes. For a short while, or half an hour. Okay, Shubharatri to all of you. Oh.